And the reading for today on which Phil's sermon is based is the first letter of Peter, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. We've arrived in September, just in case you didn't realise. It's the 1st of September already. And normally on the 1st of the month, my middle child runs up to me and goes, pinch, punch, 1st of the month. But I managed to get out of the house without it happening this morning. So I imagine that when she arrives, about 10:45, that will happen. But until then, I'm safe. We're all safe from being punched. So as September begins, we're beginning a new series. We're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be looking at that theme throughout the weeks of September. And I suppose a good question to start with is, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Sometimes people get a bit confused between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness and self-control. So they're all sort of virtues, aren't they? They're things that are kind of inward characteristics that play out as we speak and do things in our life. They are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are slightly different, and that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, they are gifts from God to his people. I mean, that's kind of self-evident in the name, isn't it? They're gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they're gifts from God to us, his people. Secondly, they are how God equips the church to be the church. So they're the things that God gives us, each of us, as members of the church, so that we can be the church, so that we can fulfill the mission that God calls us to be on. Mission is what God is about in the world, and we join in that mission by joining him in what he's doing, and he gives us the gifts through the Holy Spirit so that we can do that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for everybody. They're not just for special people, but they're for everybody, everyone who's part of the church. And our job, really, is to find them or receive them or uncover them, recognize that we have them, and then to use them. That's a simple definition. And they're given to serve others, not just to serve ourselves. It's not so that we can feel great. Oh, I'm really good at this, aren't I? No, it's so that we can serve others and bless others. And it's a big picture. It's not just so that we can serve each other here in our nice little church, but it's so that we can serve the world out there through the work we do, through how we live our lives with our family and friends and neighbours and our colleagues at work and wherever we are in our life. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for. So a little illustration of this. We won't be opening these presents until the next service, but they're not very good presents. Don't be too disappointed. In here is, you can probably guess, it's a tin of baked beans. You might be a bit disappointed if you got this as a gift, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, great. But imagine you're really hungry, and so you're delighted with this gift. Okay, so that's the first gift. You get a tin of baked beans. So that's good. And then the next gift in here is a spoon. Okay, so that's great, because then you've got something to eat the baked beans with. So someone else gets this gift. So you've got one person who has the beans, another person gets this gift. And it's a spoon, and that's great, because you've got something to eat the beans with now, but you still can't get into the beans yet, can you? But don't worry, it's coming. The next gift is a bowl. Oh, that's handy. We can put the beans in here. We don't have to eat them out of the tin. That would be nice. And then the next person, person number four, gets the tin opener. Hooray! We can get into the beans, pour them into the bowl, we can use the spoon, and we can share them between each other. That's great. And then there's a final gift, which is £100. I don't know, legally, I'm not meant to print these, I don't think, so I'll destroy them afterwards, but it's not really a £50 note. Your vicar can't afford to bring £50 notes, so he's printed some off the internet. So £100. What's so great about having £100 is that you can buy loads more tins of baked beans, loads more spoons and bowls, and you can start sharing the baked beans with everybody, not just among your five friends, but among everyone. So there's a hungry world who you can now feed. Now, I know that's a bit of a stretch as an illustration, but what I'm talking about is the fact that God gives us these gifts, not just so that we can feed ourselves, or even just feed each other within this building or within our house group, but so that we can feed the world. It's a big picture. The gifts of God's Holy Spirit are a big thing to bless the whole world. So we need to think big, not just ourselves, not just the gathered church, but all people to bless the world. I remember when I started using my gifts. I was quite young and I was going to my little village church, and I was really into music and singing. And this lady in the church said, well, why don't you sing during church one day? And I thought, oh, I could do. I was a bit nervous. And what I did was I sat beside the organ, and it's a lot smaller church than this, but I sat with my little guitar, and while people were coming up to receive communion, I would sing a couple of songs, just me on my tiny little guitar, which I still got at home, actually. I'd sing a couple of just simple worship songs. And I remember doing that for the first time, and afterwards people coming up to me and saying, oh, thank you so much, Philip, for your singing. And realising that it wasn't just the fact that they liked listening to songs. What was happening when I was singing is that people were connecting with God. This was something bigger than I could do. All I was doing was singing a song. But God was using it to help people connect with him. And I thought, wow. God has given me a gift, not just so that I can be a famous singer, but so that I can help people connect with God. I can help others. It wasn't a gift for me, really. It was a gift for the whole church. And as people connected with God more through my singing, then they were better able to live out their lives of faith so they could love their neighbours better, love their families better. And it changes the world. One little boy singing a song can change the world. I mean, if we all use the gifts that God's given us, that's what happens. So this morning's reading was from 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's written by Peter. So Peter, he was called Simon Peter, his nickname is The Rock, which is kind of ironic because he's a bit flitty, you know, he's a bit fickle, isn't he, Peter? And it's really nice that God gives him the name The Rock, because God really believes in him, even though Peter can't really be trusted with very much. But what happens is that Peter keeps messing up, but then he keeps coming back to following Jesus. So Peter is a human being, he's like us, isn't he? We mess up. We try and come back, and we keep coming back. And so he's a great model. He's writing this letter to a church, and it's to a church that's really struggling. They're in a really difficult place. And he's written lots in this letter, and he gets to this point in chapter 4. He's already written quite a lot, and he's trying to encourage them, but he knows that they're going through really difficult things. And he says this at verse 8, above all, love each other deeply. So he says lots of things about how you should be as the church, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, but he says, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Above all, love each other deeply. So before we get into these gifts and we start thinking about, well, what's my gift, what's your gift, what can I do? The most important thing is that we love each other deeply. That's the key. I mean, that's the heart of the great commandment, isn't it? Is that we love each other. That we love each other. That we love God with everything we have. And we love our neighbours as ourselves. And that's part of our church strapline as well. Loving and growing. The loving bit is about loving God with everything we have and loving others. That's what we're called to do and what we're called to be. So that's the most important thing. And then Peter goes on. Each of you, he says, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received. So these are things we receive. We receive these gifts. Use them to serve others. That's how we use them. And then he goes on, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So grace is another word for gift. So as faithful stewards... Oh, I've gone forward, have I? There we go. Thank you. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms,
And then he says, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. So he starts to list a couple of the gifts. And the first gift he mentions is speaking. Being able to speak is a gift from God. And he says that if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, so this is the second gift he's mentioning, serving, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So just to go back to those two gifts, speaking is the first one he mentions. So giving sermons is an example of speaking, but also I think it's how we speak in our everyday life. When we were looking at wisdom, we were looking at Proverbs, you might remember Sally getting the donuts out, and we were talking about our lips, weren't we? And our tongue, and how what we say is so powerful. We can bring people down, we can cause division and hatred and fear, or we can bring hope, reassurance, love. We can bring God's word. So what we say is really important, and that's a gift. Being able to speak is a gift from God. And the second one he mentions is serving. And this is a really wide gift, isn't it? You think about all the different ways that we can serve each other, serve other people. I mean, if you just think about the ways we serve within the church, you know, the people who clean the church for us, the person who gives you says good morning and gives you a service card when you come in, the people who do the music, the people who set up all this stuff, the people who have made this building, all these things that we serve within the church. And then obviously there's opportunities to serve outside the church as well, in our everyday life, in our jobs, and with our neighbours, with our families. And Paul says that we can do this in the strength that God provides. So God provides us the strength to do this, and he wants us to serve him in that strength. So you see there's a bit of a circle going on. God gives the gifts, but then right at the end he says, so that in all things God may be praised. The praise goes back to God. The gift comes down from God to us. We serve God, and as we do that, using our gifts, the praise goes back to God. Because if the praise lands with us, it leads to all kinds of trouble. Our head ends up swelling, our ego gets too big for our body, and we fall over. It's not good. So we need the praise to go back to God. We can't handle the praise. God can handle the praise, and it's for him. So we see that circle. The gifts are given to us, we use them, and through them God is praised. That's how it's meant to work. So talking about being served, last weekend, me and most of my family, my eldest was at Soul Survivor, which is a big youth, teenage Christian festival, but the rest of us went to a little festival called Family Fest, which was a place called Wydale Hall near Scarborough. And it was led by St. Michael of Belfry Church. There was only about 100 of us, but it was really nice. And it was a real example of being served. We felt so blessed as a family because this team of people from the church in York put on this amazing weekend. The sun was shining. It was great, wasn't it, last weekend? And there were games for the kids. There was times of worship where we were all together and we were praying for each other. It was just such a lovely time and such an example of the church serving people, not just for the people inside their building, but a wider thing, because we've been blessed by that. We're able to come back from that weekend full of God's Holy Spirit, ready to serve others. And so that blessing, that gift of the Holy Spirit, gets passed on and passed on to others. So the gifts of the Spirit are given to us as individuals, but they're to bless and help others. And through doing that, we glorify God. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and helping each of us to discover what are the gifts that God has given us and how can we use them. That's particularly going to be going on in our house groups. So all our house groups are getting material, which is going to help each person to think about themselves, about the gifts they have, and work out whether they're using them for God, how they can use them more. Now, if you're not in a house group, but you think, oh, I need to do that work of working out what my gifts are, come and speak to me because I can point you in the right direction to get those resources and to help each of us discover our gifts of the Spirit. So, to finish, what is stopping us from discovering our spiritual gifts? Well, I think the first thing that can stop us is when we think too little of ourselves. If we think, well, I'm not good enough to have spiritual gifts, I'm not holy enough, or I've done too many bad things, or, yeah, it's fine for Phil because he gets to wear all those fancy robes and stand up front, but not for me. But that's a lie. See, the gifts of the Spirit are for all of us. Every single person is given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's more about just discovering them and uncovering them. Here's Ted in one of his pictures. So this is my five-year-old, and he's drawn a picture of a tank there. I don't know if you can see it from where you are. But Ted loves to draw pictures. He's really into it at the moment. His tongue comes out, and he goes like this. And he really concentrates, and he draws these wonderful pictures. Now, if Ted came to me tomorrow and said, Daddy, I'm not going to draw any pictures anymore. I'm rubbish at drawing. I'd be really shocked, because we always say, Ted, that's amazing. That's a brilliant picture. We're always encouraging him. So I'd want to know who has spoken into his life and said, you're rubbish. And maybe if Ted said, oh, this boy at school said my pictures are rubbish, so I'm not doing it anymore. I'd speak to him. I'd get down onto his level. I'd look him in the eye. I'd say, Ted, you are a brilliant drawer. Don't listen to that boy. And I think the thing that happens in our lives sometimes is that people say to us, or we pick up, that we're not good enough. Maybe we do it because we compare ourselves to other people. We think, well, I'm not as good as them. Or maybe people just actually said to us, you're not worth much. Or maybe because of the circumstances in our life, we feel that we're not worth much. You know, people have abandoned us, or bad things have happened, and we think, well, I'm rubbish. But that is a lie. You're not rubbish. God loves you, and God wants to give you, and he has given you gifts. But sometimes we need to do a bit of uncovering. And I'm hoping that over the next few weeks we can do a bit of that, and recognising that God has given us these gifts. So that can be the first thing that stops us, is that we think too little of ourselves. The second thing that can stop us from really using our gifts is we think too much of ourselves. We have the opposite problem. And we want to use these things to you know, lift ourselves up and make ourselves feel better. Well, actually, that's not what they're for. So we can end up using them in the wrong way. The gifts aren't about us. And we live in a very individualistic culture, don't we? I was reading this week about how the interesting thing about idols is that when we visit another country, it's really easy to see the idols, isn't it? So if you imagine going to India, and you wander around and you see these temples and these shrines, and people are going up to these statues, and you think, they're just statues. They're idols. You know, it's really easy to see idols when you're in another culture. But it's the same for our culture. When someone comes from outside of our individualistic, materialistic, capitalistic 2019 culture, when they arrive here from outside of that culture, it's really easy for them to see our idols. They can see us staring at our phones all the time. You know, they can see us, you know, all our focus on celebrities, or our focus on the things we're going to buy, or, you know, our huge Primark cathedrals and shopping centres. There's your idols. It's really obvious to them. It's not to us. For us, it's just shopping. For us, it's just information. But it's really easy to see the idols when you come from another culture. And we live in a very individualistic culture. It's easy for us to think these gifts are about, oh, I can make myself feel more important because I've got this gift. And if we do that, we lose it. Because the gift isn't for us. It's for everyone. It's to bless the world. So we need an others mindset, a community mindset, a family mindset. The fact that we're in this together, and it's for the benefit of the whole world. So I'm going to pray now that God will help us over the coming weeks to realise and discover and uncover our gifts. Lord, we thank you that we're going to take time this month to think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your generosity, for the way that you do give us gifts. And for those of us this morning that are feeling like we're inadequate, that maybe we haven't got much to give, Lord, I pray that you would speak truth over those people, that they would know that they are loved and that you have given them gifts to use for your glory. That living life to the full means knowing and owning these gifts and using them to bless others. Lord, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us, on your church, so that we can be a blessing within the church and outside of the church, in our homes and workplaces, that we can bless the world. Thank you for your grace, your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.